Our gospel lesson comes from the 17th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. And in it we hear, "And after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain apart. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his garments became as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And Peter said to Jesus, 'Lord, it is well that we are here. If you wish, I'll make 3 booths here, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah.' He was still speaking when in a bright cloud I can see far off really, really good, but I can't see nothing that's up close. Where was I? Anybody know where I was? Number 5. Okay, thank you. He was still speaking when, lo, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him.' And when the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were filled with awe. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, 'Rise, and I have no fear.' And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus. And as he was coming down the mountain, Jesus commanded them, 'Tell no one the vision until the Son of Man is raised from the dead.'" Today, as the 5th of our A Disciple's Walk sermon, we are looking at and talking about walking in holy light. Why? Because we are people who walk in the light. I mean, from the very 3rd verse of the Bible. "And then God said, 'Let there be light.' And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good." All the way to the very end of the Bible. Go all the way to Revelation 21, 23. "For the city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it. For the glory of God gives it light. And the Lamb is its lamp." Epiphany is that season of light. I mean, it started all the way back with wise ones who followed a light to a manger. We get Jesus teaching on the mountainside, sharing the light of God's love with people. And we realize that we don't hide that light under a bushel, that we place it on a stand so that all can see. Isaiah testifies that being light givers is giving to a much larger community than what we may ever have thought of before. I remember hearing a young kid's prayer. It went something like this: "God bless mommy and daddy, little brother and me, just us 4 and no more." Isaiah 49:6 says, "It is too small a thing for you to be my servants to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel that I have kept. I will also make you a light to the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth." On this mountaintop, we experience a transforming light. On this mountaintop, we experience that it is too small to share the light just with ourselves. But that, in fact, we are called to share the light. God's salvation to the whole of the world. The pastor was talking with a group of young kids about believing in Jesus and about going to heaven. At the end of the talk, the preacher asked, "Well, where do we want to go?" And you know how kids are. Everybody instantly jumps up and says, "Heaven, heaven, heaven." Okay. "Well, what do we have to be to get there?" And little Johnny, maybe it's big Johnny, I don't know. Little Johnny jumps up and says, "Dead." Or the preacher that asked his congregation one morning, "How many of us want to go to heaven?" And everybody in the congregation, except for one little old lady, raised her hand. You know, preachers sometimes even try to be nice, especially in church. Sometimes. And so the preacher waited until after the service, and he slipped up beside that same little old lady, and he says, "Don't you want to go to heaven?" She kind of looked at him and said, "How soon you aiming to make the trip?" You know, that story reminds me that every one of us wants to be close to God. But we're not sure sometimes we want all the extras that go along with this experience of being close to God. Jesus took Peter, James, and John up on the mountaintop. And while they were there, something miraculous happened. Because it tells us that they see Jesus transformed, that his face just begins to shine, that his clothes are super white, and that suddenly Elijah and Moses are standing right there beside him, talking to Jesus, talking to them. Folks, that's a close encounter with God. And this story of transfiguration echoes the story of Moses on Mount Sinai back in Exodus 34. Because in both situations, they are encounters with God on a cloud-covered mountain. In both situations, God's voice is heard coming forth through that covering cloud. And in both instances, we see the face of Moses and Jesus shining, even as the descent was down the mountain. The transfiguration connects Jesus with God's unfolding plan of salvation, a plan that he's shown to us with Elijah, with Moses, because Jesus is recognized as Messiah, the fulfillment of God's promises. And so I guess we have to ask ourselves a question this morning. Do we want to allow Jesus to occupy a place of prominence, a place of attention in our lives? The Greek word that we render as transfigure is by transfigured. Provides for us an interesting piece. For in English, the word is metamorphosis or change, transformation. But folks, I think that's a very misleading word for us to use today, because this vision, this transfiguration of Jesus' face, of his clothing, was not in fact a change into something new. It is in reality an uncovering of who Jesus really is. Folks, what we're talking about is that Peter, James, and John get to witness, if only for a moment, the glory of God revealed in his Son, the true Jesus. It's important that we know that we're talking about the true Jesus today, and that you and I now get just a glimpse of God Almighty. Now, the thing for me this morning is I pray that you and I realize something. This glimpse of Jesus, it takes place as Jesus is on the road, on his way to the cross. You can't get around that, folks. We see Jesus on his way to the cross. And that's why those words that first come out, "This is my son, the beloved, with him I am well pleased," those echo the words from the very first of his baptism. They echo the very beginning of his ministry of beloved. And now as he's moving toward the cross, we hear not only those words of beloved, but we also hear a very urgent command that has new meaning for us. It says, listen to him. Listen to him. And we hear that Peter, James, and John simply fall to their knees in awe of the one who stands before them, of the very face of God that they are seeing right before them. During the last few weeks, we've examined our walk with Jesus. We've celebrated the fact that we are shaped by God's blessing. We've practiced reflecting God's love into the world. We sought to grow in relationship with Jesus. We've learned that you and I have to continue building upon the very foundation of Jesus in our lives. I can tell you, I've asked myself an awful lot of questions about being a disciple, about the place that I allow Jesus in my own life. And I've been asking the same questions I ask each of us right now. How's your heart in the presence of Jesus? Is my faith, my commitment to Jesus so passionate that right now I know of nothing else to do but to fall down on my knees in the presence of God Almighty? Have you been struck down in awe lately? Maybe today is the day that you and I walk up the mountain with Jesus and we see Jesus for who he really is. And we hear him tell us, you have a cross with your name on it. So come with me, even as we head toward Jerusalem, to be my people of light, to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the world. Why is that? Because we are Mount Olivet. We are Mount Olivet.
We are Mount Olivet. We are Mount Olivet.
As disciples of Christ, we will passionately follow the leading of the Holy Spirit as we unite to promote and nurture spiritual growth among all God's children. And guess what? I forgot to put the slide up there. That's my fault. I remembered it right as I went over there. And I thought, oh, wow, is there some way I can tell him I forgot to put that slide in there? And since I didn't, you're going to have to pull your... Thank you. So we got to do that whole end again, or the sermon just doesn't end. And I'm on time, right? Now, I'm making up for all those times when I'm 4.5 days late. Where were we again? We are. There you go. As disciples of Christ, we will passionately follow the leading of the Holy Spirit as we unite to promote and nurture spiritual growth among all God's children. Amen and amen.